The tragedy of our day is that churches are full of people who have followed God halfway. They have followed God for salvation, but they don't want to turn the reins of their life over to Him.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, we heard the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's first message from the life of Abraham, where we saw how God's promises are an act of grace alone. We saw how it was that God entered this man's idol-worshipping environment and made him some startling and momentous promises without his having asked God for anything. In the second part of that message, which we will hear this evening, Pastor Grant continues the story, showing that, in spite of the fact that God's promises are based on His grace alone, pursuing God's promises requires a response. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us once again to Genesis chapter 12 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the second part of this message entitled, Pursuing God's Promises. Here now is Pastor Grant.
If we're going to be talking about pursuing God's promises, you cannot pursue God's promises unless you respond appropriately. Here's number one. It demands separation. Abraham had to leave. Look here with me at Genesis chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." Verse number 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." It demanded separation. God said, "Abram, I've got a truckload of promises, but you'll have to leave the old life." Did you hear what I said? Abraham, I've got a truckload of promises, but you've got to leave the old life. That wasn't easy. Abraham was from Ur, the greatest city of that day, and God was calling him to leave. You see, Ur was like the good old USA. God was calling him to leave all the comforts and security of the big city to trade his home for a tent. But Abraham was willing to leave the old life to pursue God's promises. And if you and I are to cash in on the promises of God, God still demands separation. Teaching about separation seems old-fashioned. We don't want to talk about separation anymore. But you will never, listen good, you will never achieve God's dream for your life without leaving the old life. Let me say that again. Because I need this. I need you to get this, young person who you think, listen, man, Brian, Brother Brian, you can talk as long as you like. We're on a trajectory that's taking us somewhere. I'm pursuing my dream. I'm doing this. Listen. Do you know that God's dream for your life is bigger than any dream you can ever dream? You will never achieve His dream without leaving the old life. Abraham had to leave, and so do we. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. It says here, verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer..." Are you with me now? We're getting warm now. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." Here, we're really hot, getting hot now. "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The apostle says, we have spent enough time in this mess. And I'm here this morning to say to GCA that it's time for a change. We cannot continue. Listen to me good. Because what is happening in the Christian church is a disgrace. Christians are living just like the world. We figure we can do whatever we want to do, live anyway. And the apostle says, no, no, no. We have spent enough time there. My friend, if you really want to achieve God's will, to experience God's will, you must decide to live a life of separation. You must decide to leave the old life. We cannot keep going the way we are going. You, and this morning it is my prayer that the Spirit of God would challenge you and you would stop in your track and you would say, God, help me. I want to change. Flip back in first. You're in 1 Peter. Go to chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Here is instead of this lifestyle, oh, I got a little salvation, all I need. You see, the problem with the church is that we want to get enough Jesus to get to heaven. Enough Jesus to go to heaven, but we can live like the devil. That's not God's way. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lives. Verse 15, but as he who called you is what? Holy. You also be what? Holy. In what? In all your conduct. Because it is written what? Be holy. For I am holy. Oh, I want to ask you this morning, my friend. Is that your desire? You know, sometimes the worship singers sing, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, is that really what you're longing for? Come on now. Young man, older man, is holiness what you're longing for? Holy. The scripture says, enough of that stuff. It's time for holiness. 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 A little child was playing with a very valuable vase. He put his hand in and he couldn't get it out. And they did the best they could. His dad did everything he could. And it was a colored vase, so they couldn't see what was inside the vase. They were about to break this very expensive vase. When the father said, he says, open your hand and hold your fingers straight out, just like you see me doing, and then pull. You see, dad wasn't sure as to what the position of his fingers was, so dad says, hold your fingers straight out. And when dad said that, the little boy said, no, dad, I couldn't do that, because if I held my fingers straight out like that, I'd drop my dime. This little boy had a fist in the vase holding a dime. They were about to smash this expensive vase because this boy was holding a worthless dime. You say, Pastor, what is the relevance? There are people in this audience right this morning. You're holding a dime. You think what the world has to offer is so great. You're holding on to this dime. And God has all this stuff. And God is saying, it's time to let go of the dime. Let it go. I got stuff to blow your mind. You know, as the choir sings that song, as I look back over my life and think things over, I know I'm going to tell you, as I prepare this message, that song came to me. As I look back over my life, young person, I'm here to tell you, as I looked back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. God has been so good to me. And I just wish and pray, oh, the burden of my heart is that I could, oh, but the Spirit of God would work in some young person and older person's heart, that you would see that God is not trying to steal anything from you. God just wants to give you the very best. Let go of the dime. Let go of the dime. Let go of the old life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. This morning, I'm going to be challenging some of you to come right out here in a few moments. I'm going to be challenging you. I'm not done yet. But at the end, I want to ask you, young man, older man, you may have done it, older person, woman, do it again and say, God, take my life.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Number one, it demands separation, but it demands, listen, if we're going to pursue God's promises, it demands a full commitment. Genesis 12 is not the first time God had called Abraham. That's why verse 1 reads, the Lord had said to Abraham. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, it says this. Stephen tells us something that some other passages don't tell us. But look what it says there in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. Stephen says, brothers and fathers, hear me, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. And what's the next word? Before he lived in Haran. Before he lived in Haran, God of glory appeared to our father and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you. So guess what? Abraham left Ur in Mesopotamia and he stopped halfway. He and his family stopped halfway in Haran. Haran was almost exactly halfway between Ur and Canaan. The tragedy of our day is that churches are full of people who have followed God halfway. They have followed God for salvation, but they don't want to turn the reins of their life over to Him. Am I talking to somebody like that this morning? You have trusted God for salvation, but so far you have not turned the reins over to Him. You have not said, God, whatever you want to do in my life, don't forget what we read in Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. As you study the account of Abram, You get to realize that not much happened to Abraham when he was in Haran. Abraham left Ur. He was in Haran. He was halfway, and there was no blessing in Haran. The blessing came when he went all the way to Canaan. And some of you are here this morning and you're wondering, where's my blessing? I've been saved a long time and I don't seem to be getting not much blessing. Part of the problem, I believe, is that there are some people here this morning who have stopped halfway. You're still in Haran. You have not made it to Canaan. You have not made a total commitment to Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. But salvation is just the entry door. God has a whole lot more for you. Amen. But thank God Abram finally obeyed. Think of what he would have missed. Are you with me this morning? Think of what Abraham would have missed. If Abram had stayed in Haran halfway, think of what he would have missed. There would have been no Isaac. No offspring. No blessing. No land. No seed. It's time to move on from Haran. It's time to go all the way with Jesus. It's time for a full commitment. It's time to pursue God's promises. The young man had made a profession of faith when he was younger, and now he was dying, and as his mom passed his room, she heard him saying, "Lost, lost, lost." She opened the door because she was worried that he had lost his hope in Christ. When she spoke to him, her son said, "No, Mom, I haven't lost my hope in Christ. I know where I'm going when I die. I'm just sad that 20 years ago, I said yes to Jesus, but all those years are lost. I have nothing to show for all those years that I am a Christian." And I say, what a tragedy. Will I go empty-handed? You know, when we leave here, the first stop is at the judgment seat of Christ. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is there going to be any rewards for a life well lived, a life lived in commitment to Christ, in sanctification, in separation, in total commitment? Is there going to be any rewards? Are you going to go empty-handed? May God help you. It doesn't have to be like that. You can make a commitment today. Finally, it demands worship. Oh, I'm not going to say much here, but suffice it to say, as you look at your text in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And Abraham built an altar to the Lord." Verse number 8, "And Abram moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar." You see, when you are pursuing God's purpose, worship becomes very important. How important is worship in your life? How important is worship in your life? A.W. Tozer said, "I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven." Don't beat me up if you don't agree. But as I read that, I said, wow. When we get serious about pursuing God's promises, we learn to delight in worship. Close. Let me talk to you about the first step in worship. Because you might be here this morning, and if you're honest, you're not even sure if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, some have gone halfway. They have accepted Jesus as Savior, but some haven't even gone halfway. You haven't even started. Luke 18, two men went up into the temple to worship. The Bible says one man, as he went to worship, here's what he prayed. He prayed and he said, God, you see me? I'm just so glad I'm not like them folks. I don't know. I hope that's not you this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I hope you're not one of those who feel so good about how righteous you are. Because my Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're just not good enough. But guess what? Another little man, they called him a tax collector. He was a tax collector. The tax collectors were people who were hated. And this little tax collector, the Bible says, while the Pharisee was praying this big time prayer, all the tax collector could do, he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know that's where it begins? If this morning you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know for sure if Jesus Christ lives in my heart and in my life, if you would come to God this morning and tell him, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Give me eternal life. He'll do it. I hope you'll do that.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.